101.5 FM, KDON.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
And good. Wow. Excuse me. Holy buckets. Good morning, Las Vegas. How are we doing today? Yikes. My voice is a little raspy, I think. Jeez-zoo. I'm doing that Vegas Toy Con thing, and I'm hurting a little bit. Man, needed to gargle or something. I don't know. Let me get Ruben Bressler in here because I, Jiminy Christmas.
That was a lot,
that was,
buddy.
That was horrendous. Right. You know what I need?
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Yeah. Welcome. It is morning, so we are all, yeah. We're all getting, you know, we had a late night last night. We had lots of screaming and excitement.
Yes, so. We did. You know what I think I need to do? Mm. I think I need to have my bottle of Prime.
Hey, there you go.
You know,
you'll be ready for the center of the ring once you have your Prime. What
have a little sip of that.
Sponsor us, Prime. What what is Prime? I don't know what it
well,
is.
Is this it is the drink? Hydration drink.
Oh, okay.
In case you didn't know it, the Prime Hydration Station.
So it's like it's like an electrolyte beverage, like a
yeah. It's a little sweeter. Okay. It's got a little sweet and tart. You know, it's good stuff. It's like crack to me.
I went to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, where one Mr. Logan and one Mr. Jake Paul went to college. And they went 2 or 3 years before me. I have heard nothing but horror stories about their time on campus. So
what a shock.
not the biggest supporter of Prime Energy Drink, but if it's a good product, you know, more power to them.
Yeah, I have had the energy drink, too. The energy drink's actually pretty solid as well, so. Yeah, right. I recommend. I do enjoy it.
There you go.
You know, if you want to, you know, you want to get your Gatorade, it's a little more mellow, obviously, but this has got a little more flavor to it, and 25 calories. That's it.
And you're not going to be in the center of the WrestleMania ring.
No,
with Gatorade. So
yeah, absolutely. So there you go, WrestleMania. Oh boy, we are through night one. And that's not the only thing that's happened this week in pro wrestling. We're going to try and get to it all. But before we do, I just want to remind everybody, day three of the Vegas Toy Con is going on. I have been, like Miz got to host, or the New Day got to host. I have been the onstage host for the Vegas Toy Con.
Very nice.
And coming up today, it's the main event. Is going to be there
wow,
today.
I love it.
So get on over there today. Plus, we lost Mick Foley, but guess who's going to be there today? Last minute edition.
Hmm.
The former Dolph Ziggler. Nick Nemeth is going to be there.
Nice.
So TNA superstar.
I love Dolph Ziggler. He's great.
Yeah, he is. And of course, Ruben, you do stand-up comedy, as does Nick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been doing that.
That feels like something he'd be good at. I mean, stand-up is a lot like promo work. You've got to have the organization. You've got to have the knowledge. There's some amount of crowd work. Yeah, that fits.
Yeah, so Nick was added just last night in the middle of the show. So come on over. We'd love to see you. I'll be up on stage. And I got to meet Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Power Ranger.
Very nice. Ooh. A lot of people's first crush, my age at least.
Yeah, there you go. She was there, and I got to meet, let's see. It was, I'm still learning some of the anime gang, so bear with me. Tia Ballard and okay. Dawn Bennett, who they've done a ton of anime stuff. They're voice actresses. Two very nice ladies, and they both thought I had soft hands.
Aw, that's very nice.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but okay. But yep. Yeah, so great time over there, and it's going to be jam-packed. So get over there, if you haven't got your tickets yet, get a one-day pass and come join us. We would love to see you. Great activities as well. And obviously, toys, and more toys.
So, amazing.
So please
join us.
Sounds like
a good time.
Yeah, please join us over there at the World Market Expo today, starting at 10 o'clock. All right, so now I got that out of the way. WrestleMania. And Ruben, yeah. I hit almost every match. I'm proud of myself.
Nice.
I think the only
the
one.
The big top line overview for me was there wasn't a dud. There wasn't this isn't worth my time. There wasn't a this should be shorter match for me. I think that every match delivered. I think that there were some that were better than others, you know, and some of them that are like, I wish that this was better for WrestleMania. But every match was good. Every match was worth my time. You know, had interesting things going on, was fun, and, you know, pretty great night one, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say it wasn't as good as night one last year, but was definitely solid. And it was funny. I was reading Doc Mueller's review on Bleacher Report, and you know, he was probably a little more critical of it than I would have been, just at a couple points. So, you know, we'll run through it as we go through the show, and of course, get ready for night two. And just for fun, our buddy CM Punk decided to steal all the spotlight this week too. That has now resulted in what could be one of the more interesting episodes of Dynamite ever coming up next week.
Yeah.
If you didn't
see
that.
I saw some of that.
Yeah.
I guess that's probably worth covering in chronological order of this week had a lot of weird wrestling stuff happen. The CM Punk interview. Obviously, the Hall of Fame occurred this week as well, or last week as well. Had some fun stuff happen there. And then, you know, culminating with we're in the middle of the two nights of WrestleMania.
Yeah, so fascinating week. But, yeah, I want to hit what happened yesterday first and break this down and get your thoughts. And, you know, obviously I'll throw mine in too. But, you know, I do want to mention real quick, though, there is a new Ring of Honor World Champion. As Mark Briscoe has carried on the legacy of his brother Jay and is the new Ring of Honor champion, taking that off Eddie Kingston on Friday night. So congratulations to Mark as he is the new Ring of Honor world champion. So way to go, Mark. Congrats as he's finally got some gold around his waist and well deserved.
That's his first reign ever.
As the world champ, yeah.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah, so, of course, I was a huge, huge Briscoe's fan. And I was thinking about Ring of Honor as I was hearing Triple H trash AEW all week long and was just thinking, you know, how much I was watching Ring of Honor when I was getting bored with WWE for a while. But anyway, we won't get into that.
Somebody sent me a link to a Ring of Honor gear set because they know that I'm a huge nerd. And let me see if I can find it here. Who is this? This is Athena Palmer dressed up as Karlach from Baldur's Gate.
Oh, God.
Which is great. I love that. Came out as a red tiefling, which is amazing.
A red tiefling.
A demon person.
Why are you not at this toy con, Ruben? You should have come up this weekend.
Oh, I'm a huge nerd, and you know this.
I do know this.
Here we are.
Oh, man. You would have fit right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, kicking things off, we had Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, and stole the show despite apparently Becky was super sick this week.
Yeah, I heard that she was under the weather. This was a good match. This was a good, solid, I mean, amazing first match, honestly. You know, pretty long opening match. And for being, you couldn't tell that if Becky was sick during the match. Rhea's intro was the best. Like, whenever you get the band that does your song, then that's the best intro. The best intro you have. And opening the show with that was great. So, big fan. I'm happy that Rhea won. I said this last week. I've said it a few times. I'm a little bored with Rhea's reign. So, this was a nice addition. This was not boring. This was a great match. They're both technically super sound. They're both powerhouses of the game. Rhea establishing herself as, you know, the biggest superstar that isn't one of the four horsewomen of the women's side. And it was a great match.
Yeah, and you know, I absolutely love Rhea, and I love Becky too. And that match last night, just hard hitting. And you know, if Becky is coming off 102 degree fever, boy, I'd hate to see what she's would do with those two healthy.
Yeah,
I mean, wow. And you know, Rhea just does it time and time again. And then every time you kind of forget about Becky a little bit, she just reminds you, yeah, there's a reason I'm the best.
Yep.
Just a phenomenal way to kick WrestleMania off. Good decision to put those two at the start of the card. I want more.
Yeah.
This is one of those feuds that, you know, I don't know about putting it in like a Rock Cena kind of level, but maybe on the women's side, maybe it is. Sure. You know, maybe this is something that you could run this for a year. You can keep this going till next year's WrestleMania. You know, I don't know what they have planned, because obviously you've got a lot of people, you know, with, you know, somebody like a Bianca Belair and so on currently sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, would you love to get that NXT rematch from years ago and let those two go at it? Absolutely. But after that, boy, you know, you don't want to throw Becky back down to the bottom of the card.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that this is definitely you can have this be a rivalry that simmers, goes on forever. This can definitely be this. You can definitely make this more like a Rock Stone Cold kind of thing, where, you know, Rock was a decade younger and, you know, Rhea's 27 or whatever, and all these other stars in the company are in their mid 30s. So you can definitely milk this for, you know, you're trying to knock somebody off of the Queen of the Hill. While still building up like what Triple H does of building up these young stars, giving them their time in the sun. We've still got so many powerhouses in the women's division. You want to give them all their time to shine. So, but you definitely want to have Becky, you know, as often as she wants to at this point, be able to battle for that top slot.
Yeah. So great way to kick off the night. Of course, we're on the Mark Hoke Show here, and I'm Mark Hoke along with Ruben Bressler, bringing you the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. And just a reminder, we are live streaming the show as well as being here on KDON. So if you want to hop on YouTube or Facebook at the Mark Hoke Show, get in there and you know, hop in the chat box and say hi and, you know, give us your thoughts on night one of WrestleMania. We'd love to hear from you. The tag match. And Ruben, I nailed it. I called them both.
You called them both.
I did. Stunningly.
Not the manner in which it occurred.
No,
but
not quite.
You did call both winners.
I did call both winners, but I was a little disappointed that they had both the titles on separate racks above the ring. That caught me off guard a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, we were speculating that they were going to split the tag titles. We were hearing that. And they did have the SmackDown titles on one hanger and the Raw titles on another. So fairly early in this match, and this went about 17 minutes, fairly early in the match, the A-Town Down boys managed to get the SmackDown tag titles, and then Grayson Waller takes a brutal bump on ladders outside the ring. He got embedded.
Yeah.
Embedded, I think, is the only way to say it, as he took a nasty bump on a ladder outside the ring. And then R-Truth gets involved with JD McDonagh, who comes in to stop them from winning the Raw titles. But eventually R-Truth ascends the ladder, gets the Raw tag team titles, and Awesome Truth walks out with the Raw tag team titles. Our good buddy R-Truth finally gets a WrestleMania moment. Joy, happiness in the kingdom of Philadelphia. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this was also a banger. I thought that this delivered. You know, I'm not a huge fan of multi-team tag team matches, but this was set up to just be chaos. This was set up to have ladders and tables and all that crazy stuff, which is, you know, R-Truth's favored terrain. You know, that's where he wants to be. And this was a good match. I am not disappointed that A-Town Down Under won. I think that them winning means we aren't going to get solo runs from Grayson Waller or Austin Theory anytime soon, which is fine, I suppose. You know, you want to have, if you want to stay relevant, having a belt around your waist is fine. It was just like minutes ago, though, that we were looking at Austin Theory and Grayson Waller as solo superstars telling their own story at the top of their respective mountains. You know what I mean? Grayson with all the hype. This is obviously his first championship within WWE. And then Austin Theory, who's been a champion by himself before. So, and I also don't like the name A-Town Down Under. It's the most generic. I just don't like that name. But the wrestlers themselves are talented. They're handsome. They're young. They're full of energy. I love what they're doing. And then Awesome Truth, R-Truth and The Miz, two of the longest working, longest serving. They deliver every time. They're workhorses. We love them both. You know, the R-Truth story and the R-Truth like career arc is the most unique thing in all of professional wrestling. He is, you know, he's been there since I was in college, you know, and I'm a terribly old man now. He's done everything that the business has asked him to do. He's been a goof. He's been a 24/7 champion a million times. You know, all of the things that you've asked R-Truth to do. Giving him a big title, like a tag team title, win at WrestleMania is such a great thank you for a career in which he's delivered nothing but solid performances for, you know, almost two decades. And, you know, he's been a legend of the industry for so long. And The Miz, too. I mean, The Miz is amazing. And has won so many titles over his career. So to see him get back up to the top of the mountain is also nice. I worry that what happened the last time the tag titles were split will happen again, where one of the pair of tag titles will become the secondary tag titles. And that they will lose relevance in some way. But both of these winners are super deserving. Both of these winners have the chance to be the one that takes the reins and makes it the more relevant of the two tag titles. So I am happy with this result.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, I think, on the Raw side with Miz and R-Truth. What happens now? Because now everybody got their happy moment that they wanted. But
yeah,
where does the future go? Because, you know, R-Truth has played the comedy act, but now how do you take them seriously as a tag team? And for how long do they hold on to the titles? You know, right. Is this just going to be something that's going to be a passing, you know, 1 month thing where, you know, they may wrestle a couple matches, it'll be cute, and then everybody's going to get sick of it. And we're going to get a serious team in there. This may be a quick reign for those guys, but
right.
You know, but at least R-Truth got it. Now, as for Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, this is going to be fun to see because, you know, Austin got the, I hate to say, artificial push with Vince right. McMahon by his side, you know, and everybody was kind of like, you know, we love Austin Theory's ability, but you know, it was kind of a chosen one situation. Now he's going to get a chance to really do some good work with Grayson and get a natural push. And this is going to be a rocket for those two guys. I think those two are going to really work well together. They've proven it already. And now they're going to get to do it in the ring. And they're just going to be obnoxious as hell as tag team champions. I think there's a good long reign for those two coming up. So this is going to be very entertaining. And speaking. And now we've got to hit a break. And when we come back, we're going to keep rolling it here on WrestleMania weekend as we break down what happened yesterday in Philadelphia for WrestleMania 40. More to come. And, oh, boy, Mama Rose, probably not a happy camper last night. The Rock didn't get the bloody belt to her. But otherwise, not a good night for Cody and Seth Rollins. Stick around, everybody. More on the Mark Hoke Show when we return. Here on KDON 101.5 FM and streaming on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.
KDON 101.5 FM, KDON.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Yeah, let's talk some more wrestling, everybody. Having a great old time here on the Mark Hoke Show. WrestleMania weekend. It's getting crazy. Ruben Bressler's got his dukes up.
That's right. Queensberry rules.
There's no Queensberry rules in pro wrestling.
Wasn't there one guy who, like, that was his shtick recently? Oh,
God, who did that?
The British guy with the mustache? I forget.
Oh, no, it wasn't Aiden English.
I'm a fake wrestling fan.
Oh, man, anyway. I got to think about that. Anyway, back to the show. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. Ruben Bressler. And, of course, once again, we are also live streaming on YouTube. So if you would like to hop into that chat, the Mark Hoke Show, just get in there and, you know, fire any questions at us or thoughts you had about the weekend so far or anything that happened this week or, you know, Ruben's mustache and beard, you know, it's looking kind of sharp. There we go.
Thank you.
All right. We had that big Luchador match.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, Andrade, knock off Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom. Pretty wild one, you know, get the Philadelphia Eagles involved, you know.
That one was a chaotic match.
Yeah, pretty crazy there. You know, it was what it was. You know, nice exhibition for those guys. But I will say there's going to be a trivia question coming out of this. You know, what father has beaten his son twice at WrestleMania. So congratulations to Dominic Mysterio. Papa beat you twice now.
There you go.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, Rey is a Hall of Famer. Like, you know, that's fine. I think that that's a good heel situation. You know, Judgment Day 1-2 on the weekend, not great. Sort of 1-3 on the weekend, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of got the A team and the B team sort of dividing happening, but this was fun. This was a fun match.
Yeah.
Get a lot of people involved. I loved it was a super creative addition to bring in Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey. In Philadelphia with the Luchador masks. I thought that was super creative, super fun.
I want one.
Yeah.
I got to get on WWEshop.com.
For sure. Yeah. That was super, super cool.
Yeah. So fun match there. We had the Uso, the Brothers Showdown. We got families fighting all over the place. Jay beats Jimmy, the only one that I kind of was hoping Jimmy was going to win, but Jay gets the victory on this. More drama than match, which I was a little sad about. And Jay played stupid, Jimmy giving him the apology and then, you know, taking the shot.
Yeah, but it was good drama. It was good acting.
Yeah.
You know, I like the story here. I think that it was not surprising. I could have even done with 5 more minutes of this match. This was a little short for my liking, honestly. But also, on the other hand, both of these guys need to advance their rule sets. Like, we're getting a little stale, or move sets, not rule sets. We're getting a little, like, I can only watch so many super kicks. You know what I mean? So, we gotta add some moves to the repertoire, I think.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, I think, yeah, this one was the match that somewhat let me down a little bit.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen a little more intensity out of this, but, you know, solid match. Like, it wasn't bad or anything like that.
No.
But I was just expecting a little more out of this. And, you know, I think it puts Jimmy in kind of a bad spot. And that, I think that was why I wanted Jimmy to win, because I think if Jimmy would have done something really nasty or crazy to win, maybe some outside interference or something like that, it wouldn't have hurt Jay that much. It, you know, you could have extended this a little bit more. But now, you know, Jay keeps rolling. What does this do to Jimmy? And that's, you know, that's what I was more worried about, because now Jimmy just looks like the doofus who, you know, dumped his brother and is just a stooge to Roman and the rest of the family. And, you know, he's kind of stuck. So this is, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to Jimmy after this. So we'll see what happens. But Jade beats Jimmy. Then we had the ladies exhibition match with Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi, taking on Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, the women's tag team champions. No surprise here. This was the Jade Cargill exhibition match. We all knew it was coming. Jade gets the pinfall on this. Jade gets to stand in the middle after the match is over. That had to be weird for Bianca especially, but Bianca and Naomi, maybe looking at the replacement almost. And
I mean, you know what I mean? That's a bit much, but sure.
But it, you know, it's Jade's the hot thing.
Sure.
You know, and look, you're looking, Bianca was.
There's room for them all. There's room here.
There's room.
You don't have to. Yeah.
But when you think about this, Bianca was the superstar athlete, the powerhouse. And now all of a sudden you've got somebody standing next to you in the ring that you're holding her hand up. Who's taller than you, stronger than you. I don't know if she's quite as athletic as Bianca, because Bianca can do some things in the ring that Jade cannot do yet. But, boy, that's just got to be, I don't know. If it was me, I'd be kind of sitting there like, oh, boy.
Nah, this, man.
You know what I mean?
I disagree. I think Bianca and Naomi are excited to have Jade. A rising tide raises all ships. Right. I think that Damage Control is excited. I think everyone's excited. The more talent, the more relevance you can add to the division, the better for everybody involved. Talent and competition drives everybody when you're at that level. Like, obviously, they want to be the best in the world. Obviously, they want to headline WrestleMania. But when you get people who are talented, you're not, oh, darn, there's another talented person here. Like, You're intimidated, maybe. You're a little fearful, maybe, but that should drive you. That should just make you want to work harder.
It should.
So you use the things that are to your advantage. Bianca is older, more experienced, more technically savvy, whereas you've got Jade, who's, you know, new here, very powerful, very big, super charismatic, doesn't have the same skill set. There's room for both. Like, you don't say... it's the same with any division. Ultimately, it's like, I'm not intimidated by a bigger, stronger, more lean, you know, lower body fat percentage wrestler coming in if I'm the champion or if I'm a former WrestleMania main eventer. So I think that this was great. I think that, well, first of all, Damage Control had an insane entrance. Also, yes. I love Damage Control's entrance. I think the Damage Control are such pros. Like, they're so good at, you know, taking their lumps, being the bad guys. We all knew what this was going to be going into professional or into WrestleMania. But they put on a good show. This was another one. I could have watched another 5, maybe 10 minutes of this match. This was a short match.
Yeah, it was. That only went about 8 minutes. Quick match. So
yeah.
So we'll see what the future brings for all of them, but. This at some point when Jade is ready to wrestle Bianca. Oh man, that when the time comes, that is gonna be incredible. And Naomi's such an incredible athlete too. And I just don't want her to get buried in the
well.
Mix.
I still want a shakeup in the women's division where Rhea fights against Jade. I want Rhea. I want the big, powerful athletes to fight against each other. I love Becky, but she's a smaller person, right? I think that you want Rhea fighting against Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. Like, that's the division I want. And then you've got Becky fighting against, you know, slightly more like Asuka. And Alexa Bliss and
Bailey
Morgan.
Yeah.
Right. So like that's it. In a perfect world for me, that is what happens is Rhea has to face down Bianca and Jade at some point.
Fair enough. All right. Then we had the Intercontinental Championship match. And I'm going to point out something after this that I can't believe WWE did a massive screw up. But Sami Zayn, after getting the Rocky treatment with Chad Gable and Kevin Owens sending him out and the wife all upset and hiding the kid and the whole ball of wax, knocks off Gunther. The reign is over and Sami Zayn is the Intercontinental Champion. And while I think we all knew this was coming, Ruben, was this the right call? Was this the right thing to do?
Interesting. This was an interesting choice because I didn't think this was going to happen. I didn't think that they were going to give this one to Sami Zayn until I saw the schedule. The fact that they put this one second to last as opposed to one of the openers, I was like, oh, the belt's changing hands as soon as I saw the schedule. They want to give Gunther, or, you know, whatever they end up calling him, but it's Gunther. They want to give Gunther a big belt run, I think, is what this signals. You have to take the Intercontinental away so that he can go after one of the big belts. So that's what's going to come in 2025 or at the end of 2024. This was a good match. This was a really exciting, fun match. You know, Sami Zayn pulling out a move, the Brainbuster, that he hasn't pulled out since he was El Generico.
Yeah.
Like forever ago. Really fun, good physical acting. Gunther is such a good heel. Talking to the wife at ringside, talking to the, like, jawing at ringside.
Multiple times.
Really great in-ring storytelling from both of these guys. Excellent match. Was it the right choice? I like Sami Zayn. He does so much work for the company. Speaking of another, this was a really creative intro, honestly. Him walking up to the ring alone, running into KO backstage. The chat with Chad Gable, all of that was super interesting. Really fun storytelling. I think this was probably a fine decision. It had to be somebody who took the belt. I'm happy for it to be Sammy. I get your point of, was it correct to give it to Sammy? Because I think that wrestling, like, lifers are huge fans of Sammy. But if you're a casual observer, that's not a value judgment. That just somebody who, like, you know, you're a twice a year wrestling fan, probably doesn't care as much about Sammy. But he's such a big international powerhouse. Like, he brings in so much from, like, outside the United States, and he's such a talent and such a charismatic, nice dude, great representative for the company. I think that it's a really good moment in his career.
Yeah, there's just part of me that thinks they should have kept going with Gunther, but obviously they've got some plans. You know, that was, you know, I said last week, if they're planning to put him in the world title picture, obviously now's the time.
Got to drop it at WrestleMania.
But I got to tell you something. They should have done this on day two, and there's a reason why. And I did not.
I know what you're going to say.
And I cannot believe that WWE did this. If you didn't catch this on the commentary, Gunther's reign ends at 666 days. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's connotations to that.
Sure.
And as public relations conscious as WWE is, that is going to be ensconced in their record books for a very, very long time. And they're going to have to say the longest reign of their Intercontinental Championship is 666 days.
Yep.
Plus, you have now saddled Gunther with that for the rest of his life.
Uh-huh.
That's not good. I don't think that's good.
What are you doing, man? What are we doing here?
I'm just saying. I don't want to be the Satan champion. Sign? I don't want to be the Satan champion.
Do you ever not go to the 13th floor? Do you, like,
different, skip over cracks totally the different sidewalk thing
so that you don't break your mother's back? What are we doing here?
Do you want every time Gunther comes to the ring, the crowd's going to be chanting 666 666?
If I am a heel like Gunther, I love that.
Oh.
If I'm trying to, you know, build my brand as a bad guy, that's incredible.
Oh.
Also, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's a number. Who cares?
It's going to matter to WWE. I'm going to tell you that. In a lot of ways, I understand what you're saying. I get it. There are some positives to that in terms of character building and all that kind of stuff. But for WWE, the family company,
we're no longer PG-13. We're about to be in the Netflix era. We don't care about that stuff anymore.
Okay. I have a feeling they're going to care about that, but we'll see. I wouldn't have done it. No right. way. Whatever. Just me. I wouldn't have done it.
They can also just lie about the number. They could have. They could have been like, it's 667 days. Ooh.
They could have. But well, maybe it was intentional. I don't know. But we'll find out, I suppose, because maybe they'll play it up. I don't know, but we'll find. We'll see.
In the end, though, I'm excited that Sammy gets another championship reign. I think that, you know, he's such a talented dude. The best match of wrestling I've ever seen from WWE was when Shinsuke Nakamura came to NXT, and it was Sami Zayn's last match in NXT. That was the best match of wrestling I've ever seen. The crowd was so hot, and they both put on such a good show, and Sammy lost that match. And he's such a good, you know, he's such a good, talented dude, knows the score, he loses to anybody that business tells him to, beats anybody that the business tells him to. I mean, you can't ask for a better representative of the company.
Yeah. Boy, you're taking me way back to the Kevin Steen El Generico days in Ring of Honor. Now that.
Sammy did that. Sammy brought out his top rope knee to the forehead brainbuster move that we haven't seen in WWE as the lead up to his finisher. So that was all on Sammy.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll discuss that little last fiasco, that craziness as The Rock and Roman dashed Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more on The Mark Hoke Show. It's the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. Ruben Bressler along for the ride. We'll be right back.
...101.5 FM, KDON. You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
All right, let's wrap up hour number one of The Mark Hoke Show, the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. WrestleMania weekend, it's Super Bowl time for everybody around here. I'm Mark Hoke, Ruben Bressler.
What's up?
Mi amigo.
How you doing?
That's all you got?
That's it.
Okay, fair enough.
That's all I need. That's my catchphrase.
How you doing? All right.
I mean, I can work harder on it. I can say, my name is Ruben Bressler.
I think it needs to.
I don't think it works. It's not as good as Paul's.
Let's work on that just a little bit.
We'll clean it up in post. It'll be fine.
Fine. Last match of the night last night, of course, was the main event, the Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, the world heavyweight champion, for the right to either have Cody and Roman one-on-one or the bloodline rules, anything goes. And, well, pretty much anything went last night.
Right.
Match gets rolling and Rock threatens referee Chad Patton early in the match. No count out or bleepity bleep. You're fired. Yep. And the match itself was almost 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Plus introductions was another 15. So we're talking a good hour for this crazy match. And, you know, it's funny. I was reading my good friend Doc Mueller's reviews and said this one dragged out a little too long.
I agree.
And
little too long. I love the intros. The intros were really good, especially Rock's. Rock's intro was incredible. I also liked Seth's intro quite a bit. Everybody had a good intro.
Yeah.
Like there's no, it was Cody and Roman and Paul had, you know, delivered their solid performance. There is something lost in Cody's intro when you're in an open air stadium. Even though you have 72,000 people there in Philly, the opening to the sky really lessens the impact of the crowd going whoa during his intro, I found.
Interesting. Hadn't thought of that. So, of course, this match just all over the place. Cody and Seth just taking their best shots the whole time, and they just couldn't pull it off. And I think that was the point of this.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that maybe the match went on so long, other than just giving the people time to see The Rock, was they did everything. I mean, there's double pedigrees. Roman spears The Rock. They still, and no matter what, they couldn't win. They just couldn't win. And I think what they were trying to do was tell the story is, no matter what you do, you're not beating him tomorrow. No matter what. And so that's where I think this, they were setting the table for tomorrow. Your thoughts on that, Ruben?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. This is good storytelling, right? We're telling part A. We need the at the act break, at the intermission of the play, we need everything to be lost. We need to be in the doldrums, down in the dumps. We've got nowhere to go but up from here. And that's what we told last night. It's a great two-act story that we're telling with WrestleMania, as if we were telling it in the Globe Theater in the 1600s. It's really excellent work that they did. I was really impressed by how good in the ring The Rock was. He's not done anything in the ring in a real long time. And he looked ready. He looked spry. He looked, you know, able to come back and put in that solid 45 minutes that you need. He had the charisma. He had the step, you know, the pep in his step. Loved everything about it. Roman and Rock both were just enormous. Like, they are just physical specimens, even compared to incredibly in shape guys like Seth and Cody. It was a sight to behold, both of them. The really talented people, everybody putting in great work. We got to get a Rock Bottom, you know, we got to have that moment of Rock standing center ring. Really excellent job of setting up the Bloodline as the biggest, baddest possible villains. I thought they did an excellent job. I agree. I could have had this go. I would have liked 5 more minutes in the Jimmy and Jay fight. I would have liked 5 more minutes in the Damage Control fight and 10 less minutes in this one. I feel like we didn't need this much, but here we are.
Yep. So that wraps up night one. We're going to talk about night two, which will be taking place later this evening. But we also want to talk about CM Punk and all that craziness with that interview with Ariel Helwani. Unbelievable. And Tony Khan's going to just fall right into the trap and get back at him. This is going to be something else. Stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more. Follow us on X at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, MarkHokeShow.com, YouTube, The Mark Hoke Show. Just, that's pretty much it. That's how it works. And, of course, Vegas Toy Con, join me out there today. Check that out. Go to VegasToyCon.com. Nick Nemeth and staying out there later on today. We'll be right back. Stick around for hour two coming up.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show. And visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.